This is KYUK, public radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Anna Rose MacArthur. The Yukon-Kuskokwim Health Corporation announced two more positive coronavirus cases yesterday. Both people tested positive at the Bethel Airport. Neither are Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta residents, but one of the people who tested positive temporarily lives in a village that YKHC serves. YKHC says both people are no longer considered infectious and had previously completed quarantine and contact tracing prior to coming into the region. YKHC says it's not uncommon for people to test positive for the virus long after they recover. Also this week, YKHC announced its 30th positive case tied to the region, in addition to its first COVID-related death. The person who died was self-isolating in Bethel and medevaced to Anchorage earlier this week for advanced care, where they later died. YKHC urges everyone to remain vigilant and to practice all known protective measures against COVID-19. There is no vaccine for this novel virus. Protective measures include avoiding all non-essential travel, regularly washing hands, staying 6 feet away from non-household members, wearing a mask when in public, and disinfecting high-touch surfaces. YKHC also urges everyone traveling into the region to get tested for the virus for free at the Bethel, Aniak, and St. Mary's airports. Free testing is also offered at the Bethel Hospital parking lot every Wednesday from noon to 4 p.m. No appointment is needed. In municipal news, the Bethel City Council is strongly urging people to wear a mask in public spaces. It passed a resolution on that last night. Councilmember Alyssa Leary proposed it.
Y'all heard, we lost someone this week to COVID-19. This individual was not a number in a database. This was a person who was taken too soon by this virus.
The resolution says people should wear masks in public spaces, like at work if you interact with the public or while riding taxis. As a second-class city, Bethel does not have the authority to enforce a mask mandate. However, it does have the power to require masks on all city-owned property. Plus, Councilmember Michelle DeWitt urged business owners in the city to require their employees and patrons to wear masks. Moving north, this week, KYUK is looking at McTuggavik, a community that is being created over time by relocating residents of Newtok, which is being eaten up by high tides. The move has to be phased in as funding becomes available. McTuggavik is the first community being created by climate change refugees. In the first year at McTuggavik, the village council banished someone for selling alcohol. But in Newtok, residents say bootleggers are being left unpunished. KYUK's Greg Kim reports that some of the people left behind in Newtok are asking if that's fair.
Many McTuggavik residents say one of the things they like about their new village is how quiet it is. But that may be because the new village is shipping out some of its troublemakers.
We had to banish one person.
Newtok Village Councilmember Philip Carl said someone was transporting alcohol into McTuggavik and selling it. The council's president, George Carl, said it had no choice but to banish after the individual was given multiple warnings.
That's my goal, to keep this village safe, you know.
The council has two villages it has to keep safe, though. And in Newtok, Martha Simon says the issues caused by alcohol are getting worse.
Lately, there have been a lot of drunks.
Simon says that's because recently, the number of bootleggers and homebrewers in Newtok has been growing unchecked. After hearing how the situation is being dealt with in McTuggavik, she says it's unfair.
Because that isn't allowed over there, so it shouldn't be allowed here.
The village council says the disparity is due to a difference in the council's power to enforce alcohol rules in the two villages. In McTuggavik, the Newtok Village Council owns most of the homes, which they rent out. Residents must sign a contract agreeing not to use alcohol or drugs. When someone breaks that agreement, the village council can evict the tenant, essentially banishing them from McTuggavik. Council President Carl says he has no such authority in Newtok.
Across there, those houses belong to the individual, you know. And the rules in their house, that's their rules, you know. I can't do anything, you know. But here in Mokhtar, there's a big difference, you know. If you use alcohol, drugs, and you're in trouble, and if you don't follow those housing codes.
Alcohol enforcement is just one of many differences in the quality of life between the two villages. In Maksavik, people have new, bigger homes. They say they're healthier, with cleaner air and toilets instead of honey buckets. All that has Martha Simon feeling left behind in New Talk.
I do get jealous. Maybe because how things are going on here.
Tribal Administrator Andrew John says there are numerous efforts to improve life in New Talk. For example, the village has cleared hundreds of trash bags that sat on New Talk's docks for over a year. John says they're also rebuilding rotted sections of boardwalk using wood from homes that have been torn down because they were too close to the eroding riverbank.
We are recycling and repurposing as much as we can to help the living conditions of our people.
But council members like Catherine Charles say the real solution to the disparity between the two villages isn't putting band-aids on New Talk. It's bringing everyone over to Maksavik.
We're not leaving them there. We're trying to build houses here first so they could all move here. And that's our main priority right now, more houses.
It's one village council essentially managing two separate villages. Tribal Administrator Andrew John says it can be especially difficult when both Maksavik and New Talk each demand a considerable amount of attention.
Yeah, it's a delicate balance, you know. No one said it was going to be easy by any means.
After all, he says, they have no example to follow since New Talk is the first community in the world to relocate itself like this. Reporting for KYUK in Maksavik, I'm Greg Kim.
The New Talk Village Council invited KYUK to document the village's move that's in progress. Before traveling, KYUK reporters consulted with medical professionals and received negative COVID-19 test results. While in the village, reporters wore masks when invited into people's homes. Lastly, in fishing, subsistence fishing openings in the lower Yukon River are being cut in half to help more fall chum salmon swim into Canada. The preseason projection was for a run size of less than 450,000 fish. That's not enough to meet the escapement goals or the treaty objectives between Canada and the U.S. for management of the Yukon River salmon runs. Significantly absent this summer are the age 4 fish. Biologists say that means the overall return is expected to be much lower than the weak run originally projected. This summer's poor chum run is part of a trend throughout Western Alaska. This is KYUK News. I'm Anna Rose MacArthur. Thanks for listening. Please email your comments and news tips to news@kyuk.org and stay tuned for News Yukdun coming up.